Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words at the very end of our gospel reading today, when Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out to the temple. This is God's word. Orson Scott Card is an American science fiction author who, ironically, is not really much of a fan of most science fiction. What bothers him about the whole sci-fi genre is that the heroes of these stories are typically these rugged individualists who seem to have no family or friends. They're disconnected from anyone around them, who go on about their adventures as though they are lone rangers. And Card wonders, where are these heroes' parents? Where are their wives and their husbands and their siblings or their children? God said in the beginning, it's not good for the man to be alone. And Card says, it's also not good for a sci-fi hero to be alone. And that lionizing these lone wolf types only encourages the mindset of this rugged individualism that he thinks is eroding the sense of community among us to the detriment of our society. And he may be on to something. Even God, although he is one, even God is not a lone wolf God. But he is revealed in the scriptures to be a trinity of persons in one Godhead. God is we. And we is what he wants for us too. Because we is better than me. But our culture values me over we. I think it must be in our DNA as Americans. All the way back to those rugged pioneers out there on the frontier whose very lives depended upon being self-reliant and resourceful and self-directed. In 1928, Herbert Hoover, at the end of his presidential campaign, picked up on that idea, and he made a speech in which he made famous that phrase, rugged individualism. He referred to rugged individualism as the American system, as opposed to the European system of state socialism. Hoover's great fear is that government relief programs would undermine the individual character and the ambition, and they would make recipients dependent upon the government, which of course is antithetical to rugged individualism, that spirit of individualism. And historians have said that rugged individualism is the master assumption of the American experience. Individuality is a value that is sacred to us as Americans, to be protected at all costs against governments and institutions. In America, we have always valued me over we. And yet, ironically, it was the same Herbert Hoover during the Great Depression, now president, who launched the largest public works project up to that time, despite his fears that federal aid would make people dependent upon the government, but he could see no other way out of the Great Depression except to provide this federal relief, the very thing that Hoover feared would undermine the spirit of individualism. So, lesson learned. Rugged individualism has its limits, and we really do need each other. You remember when President Obama said, "If you are successful, you didn't get there on your own"? Or when Hillary Clinton said, "It takes a village to raise a child." And so many people were just up in arms and indignant, as if we has no role at all to play in the life of me. that we're all these lone wolves out there. There's no place for the community. But that's not the scriptural view of the way it should be. Not that there is nothing good at all to be said about the spirit of individualism, but remember, even God is not me, but we. Three persons subsisting in one Godhead who said in the beginning, in the plural, let us make man in our image. You know, sometimes I think we tend to look at God, for the most part, like we would look at those little points of light up there in that clear night sky. We look at that little point of light and we speak of it in the singular. We say, look at that star, a star. But if you were to look at that star, that little point of light, through a really powerful telescope, you would discover there is more to that singular point of light than you thought. There's an entire solar system there with planets and moons and comets and asteroids. I think typically we think about God and we speak about God in the singular. God is one, and He is. But on this Trinity Sunday, we pull out a telescope and we get that really close-up view of God through something like the Athanasian Creed. And we are reminded once again that there is more to our God than meets the eye. He is one, oh yes. But in three persons, the divine and eternal we. From eternity, God has known and enjoyed the blessing of we, and He made us in His image to enjoy the same thing. That's why He made Eve for Adam. That's why in Ecclesiastes He says two is better than one. That's why Psalm 68 says God settles the lonely into families. And that's why He calls His people not to be loners, but to be a church, a gathering of His people. We is better than me, for God and for those of us made in His image. Now, of course, in our gospel reading, these Jews that were talking with Jesus, they didn't understand any of that. Their one great creed, the creed of the Jewish faith, is the Deuteronomy, the great Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And if God is one, well then how can Jesus be God? Obviously, that's impossible. He's a liar. He is a blasphemer. And so they picked up stones to throw at Him. He claims to be God, and that is a lie, that is blasphemy, obviously, because God is one, He deserves death. And to this very day, each person now must come to a conclusion on this question. There's no middle ground here. Either Jesus is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, as we said today in the Creed, or He is the biggest liar and blasphemer that's ever walked this earth. Now, of course, Satan would have you to believe that He's the blasphemer. He's the liar. He's a man with a God complex. And one of the ways he will attack your faith in Christ is to attack the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Because you see, if God is not triune, then Jesus obviously cannot be God. But He's a liar, which is exactly what these Jews concluded about Him and still do. And if God is not triune, then Jesus is just a man. Maybe a great prophet, perhaps, but a man nevertheless, and that's what the Muslims have concluded. And if God is not triune, then Jesus is, well, He's at most a God, a lesser God, a demigod, and that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses have concluded. And if God is not triune, then Jesus is just the exemplar of morals. And his only salvation is to inspire us to be more moral. And that's what the Unitarians have concluded. But you see, in every single case where Satan successfully attacks the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, the next domino to fall is the divinity of Jesus Christ. And Jesus gets demoted to something less than our mighty Savior. And when that domino falls, it's game over. Satan has got you. Because as St. John writes, 1 John chapter 5, Jesus is the true God and eternal life. And those two, the promise of eternal life and the divinity of Jesus Christ, those two are linked inextricably together. You cannot demote Jesus to something less than God and still be saved. And that's why we confess in the Athanasian Creed, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is not an incidental teaching to our faith, but our salvation depends upon it. As the pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, if Jesus Christ is not true God, how can he help us? And that's why Satan will always attack the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, to undermine Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've got the Trinity wrong, then you've got Jesus wrong. And you are in your sins. And that's why it's so important that we keep these creeds always before our eyes and upon our lips. These creeds keep the ship of the church anchored so that she doesn't drift away from that historic Christian faith that has been handed down to us, as has happened in so many churches that don't use the creeds. Because you see, friends, it's people like us who confess the triune nature of God. We are Satan's nemesis. In believing the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, faith is also able to grasp that Jesus Christ is God. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, as we confess in the Nicene Creed. And therefore, because he is God, he is mighty to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, what no man can do for us, what no prophet can do for us, what no demigod can do for us. He is mighty to save us from our sins, from our graves, from hell. For the saving faith is this, that God the Father sent his only Son into this world to save sinners, to redeem us from death and the grave. And to accomplish this, Jesus had to be more than just a man, more than a prophet, more than a demigod. For these cannot save us for eternal life. Jesus had to be true God so that he could take our place under the law of God, so that his righteousness could be counted as ours, so that he could bear in his flesh our punishment, and so that his death could atone for our sin, and his resurrection could raise all of us from death to life. And this too is the saving faith, that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. That is to say that he comes from the Father and the Son who sent him. And he comes to call us by the gospel to this Christian faith, and then to gather us together as we, the church, to enlighten us with all the great gifts of God, and then to keep us in this true faith by our continued exposure to the Word of God and the sacraments. God is we, and we is better than me. All of Scripture alerts us to a satanic foe who elevates me over we. But Scripture also shows us a Savior who is party to the blessed we of the Holy Trinity, and who gave away His me for the salvation of we, His church, a people together for time and for eternity. So, let's all of us me's keep a greater focus on we, first us and God, by the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, and second us and each other by our call to love our neighbor as ourselves, to the glory of our one saving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.